We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 powered schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Another monster slate of great hashtag content today. Thank you for pressing play here on the ZabeCast. Let's get to it. We're going to have special guest, FM 106 program director and afternoon host, new mom, and lifelong Bills fan, Shanna Quinn, on the show today. And we'll get a nerve check for her heading into the big showdown Sunday against the Jaguars. I got some random thoughts on the Ursay girls in Indy. Cooper DeJean is living every teenage boy's fantasy. Plus, they stole the damn trademark, and you are old as fuck, brah. But the first and biggest story in sports right now is what's going on in the wild, wild west that is the transfer portal and the case of one Damond Williams of the University of Washington Huskies. You might say, who now what? Damond Williams. You don't know about the great Damond Williams? He had a pretty nice year last year for the Wild, for the Huskies, and he was going to be paid millions of dollars by the University of Washington. In their big old coffer of money, they got money, money, money. Got to pay Damond Williams because he's a key to the operation. So he signed an NIL deal for his name, image, and likeness, even though you and I and everybody outside of Walla Walla doesn't know who the hell Damond Williams is. Signed a NIL deal for nearly $5 million, $4 million plus, depending on who you believe. The figures are still murky because none of this is above board. None of this is actually independently audited. We just have to guess at it, poke at it, get leaks, nibble around the edges of it. So $4 million for a one-year deal, pretty good. Except it apparently was not good enough for Damon Williams, because 4 days later, he announced he was going back into the portal, and he was looking to go join Lane Kiffin at LSU. All righty then. This is where we are now in the world of college athletics, which is just a shittier, more lawless version of the NFL, with guys you don't even know and haven't heard of, and who, some of whom aren't going to be very good, but they're going to get $4 million a year. And they're going to break their legally binding, or at least University of Washington hopes. Washington says they are doing everything they can to enforce this contract. Okay, enforce it. How? Well, the first thing is Washington has refused to put Damon Williams' name in the portal. So they have stopped that at least, but it's pretty much administrative. We know, as Andrew Brandt would say, there will be lawyers. But how do you make a guy play for you who doesn't want to play for you or just got a better deal from another school? You can't. Now, they could, on principle, press ahead with this legal action to prevent him from transferring. I think a couple schools have tried this. There is a DB from South Florida who signed with the Badgers and then decided to leave after 1 year. They tried to hold him to his deal, and I believe they sued. I don't remember the guy's name, and I've lost track of what happened, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You can't make a woman love you if she doesn't, and you can't make a player play for you if he's determined not to. You could say, well, I hope they sue to keep this kid from playing college football ever again. Okay. A, vindictive, but I understand you're pissed off and he broke the contract, but you know that's going to cost money, right? Because who knows? There's no legal precedent right now for any of this. And so there's not a lot of law to lean on, decided law that's been through the court system. That's number one. Number two, it's hard to imagine how a court at the lower level would come up with a novel way to interpret what is this contract and then how does it apply to the broader context of college athletics now that NIL is in play and the portal is wide open and nobody can stop it. Nobody knows. Nobody knows how that's going to play out. And these courts oftentimes go, well, you know, but then you get to appeal that. But then you've got to try to file a motion to prevent the kid from playing for Ole Miss or LSU while you appeal. And the appeals take years. And ding, 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 ding. The legal bills and the meter is running. And you're getting a reputation at UW, whether it's fair or not, as the school that sues its players. And believe you me, every other school and every other opponent in your league is going to use that as a club to bash you over the head. I'm afraid at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if he signed a legally binding document with all the where to's and here for's and clauses and everything else. Ross Dellinger covers college football very well, I think for SI.com. Ross Dellinger actually caught a piece, somehow got a piece of the actual contract. This is pretty interesting here. Let me find it for you here. Hold on. This is what happens when you have 50 tabs up at a time and you could have sworn you had it handy. Don't have it handy, clicking. Here it is right here, second tab. Move this over here. Services agreement. Ross Dellinger reporting on Twitter. Let me get his credentials. Yahoo Sports now, and also On3. On3 Sports and Yahoo Sports. On3, for those of you who don't know, it's the number one college reporting portal site out there. Dellinger has this services agreement, which has, whereas PSP has the right to grant event sponsorship rights and marketing opportunities in connection with Louisiana State University, including the right to grant a license for the use of university trademarks. Whereas PSP and or sponsor desires. Whereas student athlete is a current member of the Louisiana State University football team. Now, therefore, in consideration for the mutual covenants that are contained in this agreement, the parties agree as follows, dot, dot, dot. This is the LSU document that he got for quarterback Brendan Sorsby, who got a $3.5 million guarantee, but in a fascinating window into quarterback bidding wars, writes Dellinger, schools are using corporate sponsors to exceed the cap with lucrative promises that have not yet passed the clearinghouse. Well, consider me shocked. They're breaking the rules, bending the rules, going ahead without permission? No. I can't believe it. Who could have seen this coming other than everybody with a brain? And yet, Jay Billis stays silent. Even more obscene is the fact that Kiffin was hoping to bring Trinidad Chambliss with him from Ole Miss after he got his 6-year extension, which I don't know if that's been given yet. And apparently Chambliss is not going anywhere. Whoops. So now they're scrambling for a quarterback. In addition, the other night, 2 nights ago, who was courtside with Lane Kiffin in an LSU basketball game? Quarterback Sam Leavitt, formerly of Arizona State. His season ended short. It was cut short because of a basketball injury, broke his foot playing basketball, was the number one ranked quarterback in the portal, was seen courtside with Kiffin on the night that Damond Williams decided he was going to go, on his signed NIL deal at Washington. This is what I like to call the "you are here" meme on this whole thing. Sort of like when you see somebody put a list of cascading consequences that occur when certain things start to accelerate and you're on the slippery slope of, well, you thought it'd be just this, but now it's this plus that. And now because it's this plus that, you forgot about the other, which is now in there, and they draw an arrow that says, "you are here." This is where we are, people. And it's not going the other way anytime soon. It is a race to the bottom, and they are winning. Good luck on stopping this Clark Griswoldian slide headfirst down the icy roof that is name, image, and likeness. Funny memes, by the way, about Kiffin. There's a picture of Leavitt looking at his phone sitting next to Kiffin. Kiffin sort of leaning over to look at him and the phone. And the memes are like, "Oh, did that just say that Damond Williams entered the portal? Yeah, kid, about time you'd be leaving. See you later. We got somebody better." And that's the way the sport runs right now. Also, it didn't help that Williams chose to announce he was going into the portal right during a ceremony honoring the life of 21-year-old University of Washington soccer player by the name of Mia Hammond, who died after a 7-month brutal but heroic battle with stage 4 SMARCB1 deficient kidney cancer, an ultra rare, untreatable form of the disease. She was 21 years old. That ceremony was going on. Many Husky football players were in attendance. This guy announced he was leaving with a signed contract during the ceremony. You are here. Good luck, University of Washington. For an alternate take on all this, interesting post by Cam Cleland. Remember him, Cam Cleland, the former Saints tight end? He writes to say my 2 cents on this. College sports isn't where this epidemic started. Did you sign your 6-year-old up for travel sports? 4 different teams in the last year or two? Did you quit Little League and your school's rec team to travel to Texas and Florida at age 9? Is every weekend at the Travel Lodge with your kids' numbered sweatshirt on at 8 a.m., blaring some pre-made walk-up song montage? Did you move your kid to a new school that you don't even live in multiple times in their high school career, chasing the "it's so much better" their mindset because the friend's parents talked you into it and your excuses were, "I just want to be part of winning"? Did you have a meeting to get the volunteer parent coach fired or the school's admin coach fired because he or she didn't play your kid enough? Did you pay a personal trainer thousands of dollars to watch your kid get burned out and tell you, "this sucks, I just want to play video games"? Do you run your kid's social media, their YouTube, and their NIL potential so that you can market the kid once he becomes the next big star? Folks, we're all guilty, writes Cam Cleland, of wanting something better. But stop acting and blaming college sports. This ain't the problem. This happens way before they get to college. He goes on to say, did you fall for the old better join the elite or the select squad or the top squad or premier team and that whole sales pitch? only to later on figure out that you just ended up funding the scholarships for the A team? Adults, hear me. Kids learn from you. Kids learn from adults. They're taught and influenced by adults. Somebody had a great line I saw the other day that said, kids hear virtually nothing of what you tell them. They hear virtually nothing. But they see everything. And they make that their world. I'm sure Jay Billis will comment on this and apologize for, God, I didn't know it would get this out of hand when I said these guys should be paid. I didn't think you would turn out this way. I don't know. Here's a solution. Billis had all these wonderful, high-minded white papers, he called them, about here's what should be done. Here's my white paper on how to get student athletes paid. I don't see many white papers now from Billis. College basketball is not much better. Some awful-looking ball out there. Georgetown the other night went 1-for-23. In their final 23 minutes and 19 seconds of gameplay. You heard me right. 1-for-23 in over a half of basketball in collapsing and losing to DePaul. How'd they make the one, Bob? I don't know. It's a miracle. John Rothstein covers college basketball for the show Inside College Basketball Now, and CBS Sports says, you know what no one is saying if they're objectively watching college hoops right now every night? Hey, let's expand the tournament. No one is saying that. It affects even kids at Iowa who you think would want to stick around for the vibe of, this is my place, these are my people, this is where I'm happy and I'm producing. Iowa starting safety Kane Entringer, I think I'm saying that right, has entered the transfer portal. Writes Hawkeye Recruiting, this is the type of transfer that makes no sense, and it's why college football as a whole is becoming less enjoyable. The guy was a starter last year, a team captain, had nothing but great things to say about his coaches and teammates. Historically, those guys would never leave. Now, they are. Kane Entringer entering the portal for Iowa. And look, the collapse will not be sudden, except at the very end. It'll be gradual, and it'll be almost imperceptible. The rot will continue. People don't suddenly one day say, I've been going to Iowa games for 23 years as a fan, got every piece of Iowa merchandise and tailgate accessories you could want, but that's it. This portal is the worst. I'm out, and I'm selling all this crap on eBay or giving it away. Doesn't happen like that. Instead, they choose to go to one fewer game a year, and then maybe two, or only watch a half of a game and go out and mow the lawn. And they don't read as many articles and don't talk to their friends as much about the program. And that repeats itself and replicates amongst the fan base until the entire inside of the whole venture is rotted and empty. And then it collapses. But it's going to be a while unless something is done. And no, I don't have any solutions because they are against a rock and a legal hard place where I don't know what can save them at this point. It's going to be either legislation or a legal precedent that backstops or stops everything from happening this way. Because you got quarterbacks who are opting out of a 4-day-old contract. I mean, come on now. It's ridiculous. All right, let's move on. Some other stuff to talk about today. What should we go to next? The sack record. So yes, currently you've got Myles Garrett with the sack record of 22 and a half sacks as your quote official sack record. Never mind the fact that games used to be only, or seasons used to only be 14 games. Never mind they went to 16. Never mind the fact that some guys did it in fewer amounts of time. Hell, somebody pointed out that Reggie White in the strike year of 87 had 21 sacks in 12 games. 12. He might have had 30 sacks when it was all said and done, that Reggie White at his peak was the most unstoppable force. So I don't put too much into this quote record. I put even less when I saw this video from one Jared Allen, Hall of Famer, Minnesota Viking, famous for the old doggy rope celebration, talk about how he would have the record at 23 if one of his sacks was not taken away.
Hold the 23 sack record. It's 23. Not TJ Watt at 22 and a half at 17 games, and not Michael Strahan. It's facts for facts. It's on film. I sacked Aaron Rodgers. They took it from me on Wednesday and called it a team sack. But if you go back to that Monday Night Football game, Aaron Rodgers got the ball, went to step up in the pocket, drops the ball, picks it back up. He can still throw the ball. I chase him down, tackle, sack. Give it to me. That's two sacks for the game. Wednesday, they take it back, called it a muff, and gave it a team sack. Well, I'm part of the team. I'm the one that physically tackled him, so I should at least get half of that, right? But yeah, if you go back and look, I physically sacked Aaron Rodgers for my 23rd, would have been my 23rd sack. I had 23 quarterback on the ground that year, and they took it from me.
So watching the play, and I had either not really known this or had forgotten it or wasn't paying attention, Jared Allen's absolutely right. That Rodgers was dead to rights as number 69 had broken through the line. And while trying to escape, Rodgers lost the football. It bounced on the ground. He tackled Rodgers as the ball was loose. Rodgers hopped up and then jumped on it. And Jared Allen jumped on it again and then jumped on Rodgers to smother him a second time. I guess the NFL technically says, well, he wasn't a passer holding the ball at the time that you tackled him behind the line of scrimmage. Therefore, it's not technically a sack. Bullshit. You should probably get a sack and a half for that, not zero. But instead, they gave him zero. Now, what shocked me was, here's the final 20 seconds of the video. Who is it but Aaron Rodgers?
Where is Aaron right now?
Aaron Rodgers on video wearing a Steelers jersey in the video, so you know it's current, and it doesn't look like it's AI, backing Jared Allen's claim.
Hey, Jared, it's Aaron Rodgers. You are the all-time single-season sack leader. I don't care what the numbers say, because that phantom bull sack they took away from you would give you the record. So in my book, and probably in most Vikings fans' books, you're the all-time single-season sack leader, my friend.
So there you go. Records are fun, records are fine, but don't put too much stock into them. On the gambling front, you know what Mr. X likes to say? Winning is nice, getting paid, even nicer. Boy, ain't that the case with some Kalshi users, one of the two major prediction markets that are out there, Kalshi and Polymarket, different than a gambling website in which it is a supposed full true market where you are betting on things, including sporting events and life and sort of news events, such as will the U.S. invade Venezuela, yes or no, and there's a market for that. You can put real money up there. And because there's no house, you're basically betting against people who say, no, there won't be an invasion. And you get paid out. Kalshi and Polymarket take their skim, but otherwise, there's no odds maker in the middle. Kalshi recently pulled a fast one because many bettors bet the Niners over 10.5 wins on the season, only to find out that Kalshi said, well, yeah, but. They refunded the money plus fees of everyone who bet Niners over and Niners under because it was kind of deemed a no bet. But the over winners are like, what the fuck? How can you do that? They won 11. You're giving me even money plus fees? What the hell? Kalshi says, well, it's because the bet was, what's their terminology for it? It was miscalculated. They write, I understand the frustration. These markets were erroneously determined early. So everyone was reimbursed cost plus fees. I'm happy to take your feedback to the team that handles these. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that feedback will really work nice. So in other words, at the start of the season, they're like, oops, yeah, we shouldn't put that number out there. So guess what? We're going to claim it was an error, and we're just going to scrape it back off the books and then refund your money. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that? Oh, yeah. I bet the Raiders. It was a dumb idea. That was a mistake. Yeah, that was a mistake. Yeah, here. Give me my money back, even money. All right, good. We'll get you next time. Winning is nice. Getting paid even nicer. Cooper DeJean is living his best life. Reports are that he is now dating, as a 22-year-old young man, young stud in the NFL, 42-year-old WWE superstar Nikki Bella. That's a hell of a reverse age gap, isn't it? 20 years, 22-year-old good-looking kid, millionaire, athlete, and he's swimming up in age to 42. Now, Nikki Bella looks great for 42. But somebody pointed out, think of it this way. Cooper DeJean now gets to fuck the woman he had been fapping to as a teenager. Who wouldn't want to do that? And he does not have to get married to her. I doubt that he would. But for now, living his best life. The Ursay girls. Interesting dynamic there in Indianapolis. The daughters of Jim Ursay are now running the team, with Carly Ursay taking the point. She's the one that's most visible. She's the one that was the microphone. All three of the gals were there at the presser after the season was over. And I want to play a little bit of it and then add some commentary to it. But here she was, Carly Ursay Gordon, talking about the season that went straight into the shitter once Daniel Jones got hurt.
I want to extend our heartfelt gratitude for your loyalty and support, as always, but particularly this season. You're right to be frustrated with how the latter part of our season went. I'm pissed. We are all pissed. Every season is unique, and this season really was a tale of two seasons in one. We are all encouraged. We were all encouraged by our first half. We experienced a lot of progress, which gives us optimism for the future and the direction we are heading as a team. Then, adversity struck. But no matter what the circumstances are, we have to be able to find a way to win and finish games.
I would not be super excited about her tenure as owner after hearing this. Now, it's one thing to be a dynamic and good public speaker like, well, some people are. It's another thing to actually understand how to manage and run an organization, and in this case, manage and run an organization that is also a competitive football team in the most competitive league on the planet, the hard salary-capped NFL, where injuries are just random whammies that end up sinking your season. But I want to hear from Colts fans. Does this inspire you at all? Do you give her credit that at least she spoke after the season? And when I look at the Colts collapse, I look at it like, well, you ran out of quarterbacks. The fuck do you think was going to happen? You had no shot. In today's quarterback league, you ended up in a bad spot. Now, the answer would be to fire Chris Ballard, the GM, who has basically done nothing in his, 7 years there, and he keeps on having nine lives? That could be the answer right there. But the whole thing about being pissed, are you really pissed? Like, what are you pissed about, per se? That you didn't win one or two more games?
For your loyalty and support, as always, but particularly this season. You're right to be frustrated with how the latter part of our season went. I'm pissed. We are all pissed.
I'm pissed. We're all pissed. Hey, man, sports does not always work out just the way you want. Be pissed if there was some rampant or gross incompetence that you witnessed. You just lost your quarterback. Things started to spiral. You actually had a chance to win a few of those games. Didn't work out. Chalk it up to getting better backups next time. Mad Dog is in the club and you ain't. So, this is a little bit of inside broadcast baseball. I'm okay with the fact that I ain't in the club, that I am where I'm at in my career because I've positioned myself doing radio and now podcasting in a way that is always from a fan's perspective, from an outsider's perspective, from a I can't sit here and lie to you or just sort of cover shit up perspective. The go-along, get-along ain't strong in me when it comes to stuff that is not right. So Mad Dog Russo is very good, and I like him. In this one clip with one Al Michaels, showed what it's like to be in the club. Now, you know where I stand on Al Michaels. Way past his prime. He is hoarding this spot, this valuable spot on the NFL broadcast landscape. He thinks he's still good enough to do it, but he really isn't. And he won't leave. And so I couldn't have him on the show if I was ever that lucky. He would never agree to it anyway if anyone told him, hey, this guy thinks that you should quit. But the benefit, if you are somebody who's going to stay inside the tent, inside the party tent, in the club, is it's an easier road once you get to a certain level. And again, this is not criticism of Mad Dog. This is just pointing out this is the road he chose. It's the road that McAfee chose early on. He was always going to be inside the celebrity tent. That's where he wants to be. It's a great place to be, by the way. And if you can do it, I recommend any young broadcaster, do it. I just was never wired that way. Here's how he ended his interview with Al Michaels, asking him what he was going to wear at Soldier Field during the game.
You haven't been wearing them. Will you wear a tie Saturday night or no?
Hell no. No, it's the parka and the maybe turtleneck or you know, an open collar. Has to be.
There you go. I love you. See you soon. Good job.
Be good, dog. Be good. Thanks.
You got it. Without Michael's there, thoughts with him there.
Good job there. Hey, we love you, buddy. You suck. Retire already, for God's sakes. Tiger Woods hosting a 300-person invite-only party to celebrate his 50th, it'll be at the Breakers in West Palm Beach. Party has its own title sponsor. Performance by John Bon Jovi. Dress code says wear a touch of red. A Masters Champion dinner-themed menu. I know several total Tiger stands in my golf circles and golf text threads. And let me tell you, they would risk the meanest Dobermans and the most angry security guards to try to break into that party if they could. Awful Announcing reports Peacock is adding enhancements that may allow fans to mute certain announcers and to control crowd noise. Link is then attached. I don't even have the courage to click the link to see just how disappointing it really would be. Such as, well, you can mute the announcers, but you got to mute them all. No, I just want to mute Herb Street. I just want to mute Aikman. I want to mute the last 20 seconds of Aikman. That if he can't get his point off in 10 seconds, which he can't, then I'm just not going to listen to the back half. How much are rivalries real? Well, you know it's real when a player tells his sister, I'm not talking to you this week. That's the case with Cole Kmet for the Bears. Why is he not talking to his sister this week? Because she's dating Green Bay Packers pass rusher Lucas Van Ness.
I don't know. I don't talk to her on Packer Week, so I'll find out after the game.
You don't talk to her?
No, I'm kidding. Well, she did ask for tickets, and I just sent her the tickets, so I didn't really respond to anything else besides that. But
to ask the other guy?
No. They wanted the better seats. That's why. I had to help my sister out. No, all kidding aside, but I usually find that out after the game. Usually she's just she's happy to see both of us healthy and all that good sister stuff. But I hope deep down she's rooting for us.
Yeah. I don't know about that. We'll see. Blood should be thicker than water. Blood should be thicker than who you're dating and their rival team. But that's pretty funny from Cole Kmet. Speaking of funny, the Oakland A's just can't stop stepping on rakes of stupidity. Here is a beauty of a story. This one from Channel 4 News in the Bay Area.
A's are preparing for a move to Las Vegas, but they may not be taking their name with them. Good evening, everybody. I'm Vicky Liviakis.
And I'm Ken Wayne. Early this morning, a trademark attorney posted to social media that on the same day that the Oakland A's announced they're going to play their next 3 years in Sacramento, that they also applied to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for trademarks to both the Sacramento A's and the Sacramento Athletics.
However, it appears that the team might be more focused on their immediate move rather than the team's final destination. An application for the Las Vegas Athletics trademark is filed, but apparently it was not by the team. Crawford's Dan Kermit explains who is trying to claim the name.
I just want to say we're excited to be here for the next 3 years.
As the A's were announcing Thursday they would play the next three seasons in Sacramento, the U.S. Patent and Trademarks website shows they were also applying for the trademarks to both the Sacramento A's and the Sacramento Athletics. But that website also shows, back on March 6th, someone applied for the trademark Las Vegas Athletics, and it wasn't the A's.
We said, let's file for it, and so we filed a new one, and it got accepted, and now it's in processing. So Las Dibar is, hopefully within 5 months, will be the owners of the Las Vegas Athletics.
You heard that correctly. A's fan group The Last Dive Bar, one of A's owner John Fisher's most vocal opponents, has applied for the trademark Las Vegas Athletics.
That is epic. Imagine somebody with the team going, ah, shit, I meant to do that. It was on my to-do list. Then the holidays came, and I kind of got backlogged, and I was doing some corporate training, and I fucking forgot to file the trademark. Now, I am no trademark attorney, although I play one on my podcast. It is my understanding that, yeah, you can temporarily block somebody from grabbing your trademark, but you have to kind of prove that you have a defensible right to the trademark, that you are actively using it, that you're actively protecting it against other people. So I think eventually the Athletics will get the trademark, and I think they will still be the Athletics. I doubt they'll have to change their name once they move to Vegas in 3 years. But that's pretty damn funny right there. Before we get to Shanna, here's one for you. You are old as fuck, brah. This tweet hit me like a ton of bricks. I was holding a bottle of Paul Newman salad dressing. Tweets at 6 foot candy, a gal who I guess is 6 feet tall. She said, I was holding a bottle of Paul Newman salad dressing when my niece asked me who Paul Newman was. I told her that he was an actor, basically the Brad Pitt of my mom's generation. Then she hit me with, who's Brad Pitt? If anyone needs me, I'll be at the senior center eating applesauce. That is funny. Coming up after this quick break, Shanna Quinn, my former colleague up there at iHeart Milwaukee on FM 106, huge Bills fan. I ride vicariously with her whenever I can. I ride vicariously alongside my boy Spence whenever I can. The two friends and the two teams are meeting on a collision course this Sunday. Be an interesting watch for me as a pseudo fan of both. We'll see how Shanna's doing heading into what may be the Bills' year, but nobody's really expecting it. You are listening to the Zabecast. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out, use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 Powered Schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
The honeymoon store is one that you'll adore. I'm going to take you for a ride. I'll go home and pack my panties. You go home and get your scanties, and away we'll go. Ooh. Off we're gonna shuffle off to Buffalo.
It's so good. He's actually like giving us like pretty good sleep too.
Nice.
Last night I got 4 hours at once, so like that was great.
Awesome. Well, it's super good to hear. Eating good?
Yeah, he's eating so much. Yeah, okay. He's eating a lot. So he's going to hopefully be a star athlete and make mom and dad some money.
You're already planning that. No pressure, right?
For sure. Absolutely. He has big feet, and I'm a big, like, CTE is just a lot to me. And obviously we've seen, you know, Aaron Hernandez and everything that's happened with him. So I was like, you can be a kicker.
Have him be a left-handed reliever in baseball. Those guys get paid a ton of money for very little work.
A friend of mine, her husband was a second string NFL quarterback. I know how much money he was making, and I was like, that doesn't sound like a bad gig.
Yeah. So, be the backup quarterback who never has to get tackled and then stays the a second, long like, time.
Not even the backup. Oh. The third string.
Third string. Wow. Okay. Well, that's reasonable then. Okay. I like that. So, yeah. Shanna, here is my life as it currently exists when it comes to the NFL. Obviously, I root for the Packers. I have complicated feelings about what became of the Redskins, but let's put that aside for a second. My life now is to root vicariously for my friends' teams, as long as they're not the Dirty Savages from Philly or the Blue Stars from Dallas or the Bears or the Vikings. That's pretty much it. So I now have this assortment of people who are my people, and you are my Bills girl. Nobody loves the Buffalo Bills like you, and you are playing one of my other good friends, Mark Spencer, Spence, who got married with a tux which had a Jaguars liner to it. He is so hard down. This is going to be a hard watch for me Sunday. It's going to be hard. Yeah, be hard for you, too.
I respect your friend a lot because I've never actually met a Jaguars fan in the wild. So that's pretty impressive, number one, that
they
he's a fan. And number two,
exist.
That in his
talks. Yes, yeah, they exist. Exactly. And he is one.
And I love that for him because it shows that he is genuinely a loyal human being. Like, that's what I always say to my husband. I'm like, I'm always going to be loyal to you because I've already been in an abusive relationship with the Buffalo Bills for 30-something years now. So, like, I'm in it to win it. Like, we've never won a Super Bowl. We went for, like, you know, 17-year playoff drought, whatever it was. We don't have to talk about the years.
No, we're not going to get into that. Yeah.
I am loyal to a fault, and it sounds like your friend is too. And you know what? I was actually hoping for the Bills to play the Jags in the playoffs. Number one, I hate the Patriots. You know, I never want to see them in anything. Drake May scares me. But also, I think that this year is really fun because there are teams like the Jags that we didn't know fans existed, right? We're like, this is so fun. These are like different teams. So I'm excited to see what Trevor Lawrence and the gang have in them. So
you're a Buffalonian by birth, right?
Yes. Yeah. I was born and raised in Buffalo. I moved when I was 25 and I went to Albany, New York. And it's funny because I got made fun of when I went to Albany for being a Bills fan. Everyone was like,
why
Bills,
would you? It's all
they're
upstate New York. My parents were from Schenectady. It's the same.
No way. Did we talk about this before? I don't
we did not talk about it. Yeah. I used to go to Schenectady every summer, Shanna.
No way.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, no, I didn't know that. They're Giants, Jets, and Patriots fans out there, or they used to be, right? So now it's funny, all these people I used to work with in Albany that made fun of me for being Bills fans, I see these mother truckers, I see them posting about number 17, I see them posting about the Bills, and now they're fans. And I'm like, oh,
welcome to the bandwagon now, right? Well, I guess Albany is in the middle of the state, right? Kind of like central upstate. Yeah.
No, that would be more Syracuse. Albany is more, it's like 2 hours from New York City.
Is it closer to New York than it is to Buffalo?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Albany and Buffalo are about 4.5 hours, 4 if I'm driving. And then to New York City, it's about like 2.5 hours. Same with Boston.
Yeah. Buffalo is a Western New York team. And if you're from Western New York, it's a whole different vibe than central upstate or just upstate, right?
Very, very. Yeah. It's funny because when I moved to Milwaukee, where I am now, everyone was like, oh my God, so you're from Wisconsin? I'm like, no, I'm from Buffalo. We have very similar accents though, like Buffalo people and Midwest people. Really? I would say Buffalo is way more Midwest than it is New York. Like,
interesting.
You know, the first time we ever went to Buffalo, my husband, who is from Green Bay, when we landed, he was like, you know, you look out the window to see what's out there. And he was like, this looks like Green Bay. This looks like Milwaukee. I'm like, yeah, it's not New York City. Buffalo, New York City are about 7 hours away from each other. So, right. definitely way more Midwest out that way.
So where are we, Shanna, on the heartbreak scale if things, God forbid, go south on Sunday?
You know, it's tough because you get to this point where it's like, okay, we, you know, have this great team. We have this MVP on this team, but it's rough this year. I don't know what it is. And listen, I am all in on the Bills. I want them to go all the way. I want a Bills-Packers Super Bowl so freaking badly, but I'm going to be crushed, obviously, as I am all the time. Am I going to be surprised if the Bills get knocked out by the Jags? No, I'm not, because I think that this team is so fun to watch. They are so great, but I won't be surprised because Josh Allen doesn't have the weapons that we would like him to have.
Sure.
Our defense, for the most part, not great. So
not
I would
great.
Not be surprised. I would not be as heartbroken as, you know, the 13 seconds. You know, I would. That was a heartbreaking
that
game
was
to watch.
Such a level of hell for every Buffalo Bills fan. Oh, my God.
Absolutely horrible. So, like, that was more soul-crushing than this year would be. And, you know, everyone keeps saying, like, oh, the Bills should have it. There's no excuse this year for Josh Allen. You don't have Pat Mahomes. You don't have Lamar Jackson. You don't have Joe Burrow out there. But Josh Allen can't do everything himself. And that's where I'm a little bit apprehensive. And I'm thinking I wouldn't be surprised if these teams that are way better overall, like the Jags, knock out the Bills.
Yeah.
I won't be as heartbroken.
What is your confidence level in your coach? That's what I'm dying to know. What do you think most Bills fans say about McDermott?
You know, it's interesting. I feel like it's kind of split. I like Sean McDermott. I question a lot of the things. I know I'm in the minority on this. I did not think that going for two was the right call the other day. I don't think it was. And listen, I understand I am in the minority on this one. You have
no,
Josh
I think
Allen.
There's at least 50-50 who said, look, you're at home. You got the momentum. Their defense is gassed. Come on now.
That was my problem. The way that the Bills were going, they were just like, they were the better team at that time in the game. Why wouldn't you want to go to overtime and then win? The 2 points, I thought that was, and McDermott makes the weirdest call sometimes. And I think that a lot of times too, I see a lot of him, like him and Matt LaFleur are very kind of the same when it comes to that, where you're like ripping your hair out. Like, what are you doing
here? Right. Hello.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So my confidence level is a 6 out of 10 for Sean McDermott.
Qualified 6. All right. Sounds like you are tiptoeing into this, Shanna, much like many Bills fans are, which is you have preloaded some disappointment, so that's already on board. Expectations are lower, which may not be a bad thing. I think this could be, oddly enough, your guy's year because you're under the radar right now. Is there a feeling that maybe this is the way to go? Since nobody's all gushing about, it's the Bills' year. I mean, look, you are avoiding all of your El Guapo quarterbacks that have slayed you in the past. So that's good. Yeah. From Burrow to Mahomes to Lamar, none of those guys can hurt you this time around. So maybe this is it. Maybe this is it.
It could be, but here's the thing, and I think it was Mina Kimes that I saw that was posting about this on Twitter, and someone had brought up the fact that, like, you don't have Josh Allen on the field at the same time as Lamar, as Joe Burrow, as Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
You have an okay defense at best that is taking on these quarterbacks. So you really can't use that
the head-to-head
mindset. Yeah, like, it's just you just can't. It's not the same thing. I think, like, kind of what you said, you know, they are kind of flying under the radar. There have been, you know, the last couple of years where people are like, this is the Bills year. This is the Bills year. This is the Bills year. And it was so much pressure. And I would talk about that with our friend Drew Olson, that I was like, I don't like all this pressure. It makes me feel like the Bills are going to be this huge disappointment. So, yeah, maybe it will be the Bills year. And, you know, on the flip side of things, if we want to go in like the Disney kind of like storybook ending, this would be the year for the Bills. It's the last year of the stadium, which was such a big deal the other day. You have Josh that is having this really, really awesome time in his personal life, got married, he's expecting his first baby, you know, and who knows how much longer you're going to have this crew together for. So, yes, I would love it if they win. I like that they're kind of flying under the radar. Maybe it's going to be less pressure on Josh, because I think that's another problem with Josh Allen. He takes so much on, and I think sometimes he gets in his own head.
Yeah. You could catch one more game as the sixth seed, but you need the Chargers to go on a run as the 7 seed to make it there. Then you guys would host. But that's it's a big ask. Big ask right there. So speaking of the stadium, I've sent you some of the stuff I've seen, the produced pieces and whatnot. I'm sure you've seen a lot of them as well. What did you think of a lot of the nostalgia about the stadium? And did you watch the full team edit to the Goo Goo Dolls send-off that many of the players stopped on the field and looked up and waited to watch the whole thing? Did you watch that?
Yeah, it was so beautifully done. I have to say the bill. So I'm friends with one of the girls that she does the social media for.
Oh, really?
Bills, and nice. Yeah, it's funny because I've seen her, like, her name is Kelsey and she is awesome. You can literally see her running on the field with her phone after like Josh Allen to get like social content and whatnot. It's very, very funny to see her like on TV. I'm like, oh, there goes Kelsey.
What a job.
There are people, right? They're social people, all of that. They do such a great job. I thought the video was fantastic. Seeing Tre'Davious White just kind of stop and stare at the Jumbotron so and cool. Watch him himself. It was just a really, really wonderful, so cool. And I've seen like the Goo Goo Dolls posting about it too, that they were so excited to be a part of it. Which that was what really got to me as a Buffalonian. Like the Goo Goo Dolls are kings in Buffalo, because of course that's where they're from. Right. So I thought that was very cool that they used Iris for that. Yep. I thought it was really, really well done.
Yeah, perfect song, perfect group. The stadium, let's be honest, it's a concrete dump, but you guys loved it.
It's
you made it, right? You made it your home. Actually, somebody unearthed, Shanna, a video from 72 when they were just opening it, saying, you know, Rich Stadium's going to have 32 luxury suites, and they were touting what a modern, nice stadium it was going to be for 1972. But since then, the state of the art has surpassed pretty much everything. It was just funny to hear and watch the way it was being portrayed back in the day. So the new place, I just wonder, I've seen some of it, not all of it, the renderings. Do you think it's going to carry the same vibe as the old place?
I'm a little apprehensive about that. I'm really excited to go check it out. It seems like it's going to be cool, that it's going to cover it. From what I was reading, it covers like 60% of those who go to the game. So that's kind of nice, especially with the elements that you get in Buffalo. My thing is kind of like what you said. It was a dump, the Ralph, right? But it was our dump.
Yes.
And it was like Bills Mafia to a T. My husband made the comment when a bunch of us, we actually went to the Packers-Bills game in Buffalo, and there's the bleachers that you slam your hands on as hard as you can when the defense is out there, right? To, you know, whatever. And right. He was like, those bleachers are going to fall apart with you guys slamming on them. And I'm like, I know, but that's like the charm.
You're like,
again, is it a crappy stadium? Yes, but it was.
There's the picture right there. Look at that.
Oh, yes.
Look at that giant, beautiful toaster with, I understand, Shanna, the roof is electrified, heated, so it'll melt the snow and then run the water off into channels. So you're going to have to shovel maybe only 50% of the stadium, which would be a big help.
Yeah, no, I think that's I love that we can still have it open, that you'll still get the elements, because that is such a big thing about playing in Buffalo. You know, you have these teams that come in and Buffalo, you know, we're used to it, all that jazz. But it does take away from, I believe it was this past weekend where they were paying people to come out and come shovel the stadium. You know, and a lot of people will say like, oh, why won't they do a dome? And it's like, well, yeah, you could do that for sure. But number one, that lake effect snow is so heavy too, that could be really, really bad for that roof. Number two, you're going to have so much snow around the stadium. So the Bills Stadium is kind of like Lambeau, where it's like you're in a neighborhood. There's nowhere to put that snow that's in these neighborhoods. So yeah, you could do a dome and you could keep the snow out. But again, number one, you're going to lose like that snow globe effect during games. That's so beautiful and so much fun and such a great advantage for the Bills. And number two, it doesn't matter. It's still going to snow outside the stadium. So how are you going to get in and out of it anyway? So there's just a lot that goes with it.
I predict it'll be the last actual open air NFL stadium built, because it cost what, $2 billion, something like that. And it's a huge expense, knowing that you can only have outdoor events there. And they'll try to do as many non-football outdoor events and concerts, maybe a soccer match or two, but it's a lot of money for a building that gets relatively very little use. But it had to be the case in Buffalo. Just like Lambeau will never go domed, Buffalo will never go domed, few other places, yeah. But yeah, that's just the way it had to be. So I need to know, what is your game day, either superstitions or your watching routine? Where do you watch Bills games? Is your husband allowed to even be in the room with you, or are you just like, get out of my way? Do you have something like a Bills snuggie you hold on to? Like, bring me into the game day world of Shanna Quinn.
So I used to wear this sweater, and it was my G-Ma's, RIP. She passed away. Oh. She had Buffalo Bills season tickets for like 20 years. She took me to my first game, and it's this sweater that it's like this old school blue sweater that Marv Levy was like famous for wearing too. So I would wear that.
Oh, but then the that Marv seemed to, sweater. Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Like, yes. The old school, it says Bills across it. I have one of those. So I would wear that all the time. And it's so old and like just decrepit looking, but like I will hold on to that until it falls apart. Honestly, lately I'm not usually a jersey girl, because every time I would get a jersey, no matter what team, no matter what sport, they would get traded or they would retire or something bad would happen to them. I had like, when I was in Albany, I started to love Victor Cruz because I loved his little like salsa dancing in the end zone. And someone had gifted me a Victor Cruz like t-shirt jersey. The first time I wore it, like career ending injury for Victor Cruz. So I was like, and this is just how it always is. Doug Flutie, I had one of his jerseys. He was gone. Lee Evans, Paul Posluszny. So it was a long time since I had a jersey, and my parents got me a Josh Allen one, and knock on wood, he'll be with the team for a long time. I wear that. I wear my Josh Allen jersey. And now that we have our son, he wears Bill's stuff during the games. He's been a really good luck charm for them for the most part. My husband is allowed to be in the room. He wears Bill's stuff, which I think is super sweet. Then as soon as the game's over, he takes it off. But he shows his support.
So are you raising your son to be a Packer fan or a Bill fan?
So my thing is, I was like, why can't he be both, right? He can have an NFC team. He can have an AFC team. My husband is like, he needs to be a Packer fan or he's not going to Lambeau.
You know, in theory, you're not wrong. But I have found... Yeah. That many people are super particular and very militant about the notion of how many teams you're allowed to have, if you're ever allowed to switch teams, if they must be separated by the AFC-NFC boundary or not. And no one's answer is ever quite the same.
You have a lot of teams that you're cheering for, which
I
absolutely
got two. Love. I get two sets, I guess. A Milwaukee set. And a Wisconsin set, and then the DC set. But no, that's still with some people. They're like, nope, you left. Traitor, you're dead to us. And other people are like, hey, man, it happens. Now, if the Packers and you know Commanders played in a high-stakes game, then it would be interesting to see who I sided with. Much like if, God willing, we got what we deserve as football fans, Shanna, which is a Bills-Packers blue-collar Midwest, pseudo-upper Midwest matchup. It would be the most glorious Super Bowl ever.
I agree. It would also be the drunkest Super Bowl ever.
Oh, yes. But with a little bit more aggressive Bill fans and their folding tables, did you see where they added a flight on United specifically from Buffalo to Jacksonville this week for like $4.59 round trip? But they said specifically any folding tables have to be checked. They cannot be carried on board.
I've seen that before where people will check the folding tables. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just buy one when you get there? Like, go to Walmart and buy one or something.
Because word was that the local stores were being bought out of tables on the road when the Bills went on the road to play a big game. So, yeah, go figure. The best part of the week, though, just in closing, was this. Me finding out that there is vintage Shanna Quinn assets, analog assets from the non-digital era of a much younger you at Rich Stadium or what was it called? It was Ralph Wilson first or second? I forget.
I've always called it like the Ralph. I think it was first Rich Stadium, but it's been all kinds of things. It's been New Era Field. Right now it's Highmark Stadium. I don't know what it was at this point. So that's a Bruce Smith jersey that I have on.
All right, let's go through this. What year is this photo from? approx.
God, I don't even know. I mean, you can see I've got my Jersey Shore fake tan. I've got my spike bracelet. My friend has on a bandana. That's like my best guy friend, Jim. Aww. I think that's a McGee jersey that someone, yeah, there's a McGee jersey there. I've got my old school Bruce Smith. But God, that must have been like 2009. No, maybe even 2008.
No, earlier than
like
that.
I might have been in college.
I think it was early. Bruce Smith, who was long gone by then. He was a Redskin by gone. 2001. So, yeah, he was gone by then.
That was my vintage. Okay. That was my vintage jersey. I got that from Santa one year.
How about this one here with your girlfriend? Who is this?
Oh, that's my smoke show friend, Dana. She's just the hottest. That game was like, oh gosh, 2013, 2014 probably. And she still looks like that. Sorry guys. She is taken, but she is beautiful on the inside and out.
Don't sell the girl in red on left short. She's quite attractive as well. Now let's stop. Okay.
Thank you.
There you are with your hubby. Was that in Buffalo?
That was in Buffalo. That was when the Bills played the Packers. So that was 2022.
What is that outfit you're wearing there? That Lycra spandex bodysuit there in red.
Yeah, so it's a red bodysuit. This girl, I don't remember her name. She lives in Buffalo, but she sells those online. And there is a Bills logo on there somewhere. I wore that and then like a black mask because it was around Halloween time, so it was like, oh, I kind of look like Mrs. Incredible. So it was like a Mrs. Incredible Bills.
Was that enough costume to keep you warm without any additional outerwear?
I had a jacket. I actually have this really cool Super Bowl jacket that I got at like a vintage store, and it was one of the years that the Bills went to the Super Bowl. I had that on, but I took it off for the picture because you got to do it for the gram. But yeah, that was us tailgating. One of our guy friends jumped through a table. And then that's our dog, Freddie Jackson, named after number 22, Fred Jackson, the running back for the Buffalo Bills. I don't remember when Freddie Jackson played. That was years ago too. But we went, we were in town and we went to see the stadium. So that was just last year. And we went to see how the stadium was built up. That's the Bills store right there. And then the stadium is kind of in the background.
Such a cool fan base. Such a great story. Nobody deserves it more than you guys. Unfortunately, sports is a cruel, cruel mistress in which you don't get what you deserve 99% of the time. But maybe,
I know,
just maybe this is the year. All right.
Maybe. I hope so. And, you know, thank you too for all of your support with the Bills. And even more importantly, I was talking about this the other day on the air. Thank you. You were so kind to like check in all the time during my pregnancy and everything with the baby. Like you were so sweet to be like, how are you doing, mama? So I just want to tell you, thank you for that too.
Well,
it was very kind of
you. I appreciate it. Although I think you oversell it. I think it would always come to me when I would happen upon one of your social media posts. And I was like, oh, that's right. Shanna's expecting. Here, let me fire her a text just to check in. But I'm glad it came out great. And another addition to the family. And I know at the end of the day, he'll be a Bills fan because he's going to want to make his mama happy. That's the bottom line. And that's a good thing.
I hope so. I we're not saying his name publicly just because, you know, as you know, social media and this industry can be kind of weird and awkward sometimes. So we're not releasing his name. But what I will say is there is an ex Bills player that his name is kind of influenced by.
Really?
So that's how deep the love goes.
is his name Orenthal Norwood Quinn?
Shh, don't tell anyone.
Imagine if you didn't name your child.
Could you imagine Orenthal people being like, I'm sorry,
Norwood
what? Can you spell
Quinn?
That? Especially poor Scott Norwood, man. That poor man.
That
I mean,
poor
I'm
man.
Sure he's still in therapy.
Tough thing, man. I felt in the kicker for Baltimore, you had to feel sick for that kid as well. But
dude, let's just talk about Harbaugh being let go too. And like, what a beautiful, I thought that was such a beautiful moment that after the game, he was walking out the tunnel or into the, you know, walking through the tunnel with his arm around the kicker. And I was like, what a great coach. Like, that's so sweet that he's there for his player and then acts the next day.
Yeah. You were assuming that he was saying nice things to that kicker. He might've been low key saying, motherfucker, I am getting fired because of you. As he's got his arm around him, he looks all fatherly, like, oh, isn't that sweet? He's like, your little squid nick just ended 18 years of my life. I hope you're happy, loser.
Could you imagine if that was the conversation?
Oh, wait,
the,
can you imagine if NFL Films had him mic'd up and they're like, oh my God, we can't let this audio get out. Harbaugh just went heel on this kid. No, I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure he didn't. Yeah. These coaches and these players, they sign up for, as you know, Shanna, a life and a sport that is hard to imagine. Both the highs and the lows and the physical nature of it, the psychotically physical nature of it. I'm just glad we get to watch it on Sundays in our pajamas.
And I'm glad that we have nothing to do with it. At the end of the day, we don't get the injuries. We don't have to deal with it. Just the heartache.
Yeah.
Just the therapy.
All right. Go Bills. Shanna, thank you for your time as always, dear.
Go Bills. Thanks. And all
I could taste is this moment. I will end on this today. Thank you for reaching the end of this podcast. You are seeing more short video clips of the podcast appearing on my social media. Some of you have been very vocal, saying, where's the whole episode? I want the whole episode. You should be putting all this up on YouTube. Oh, trust me, my friends. I have thought long and hard about that. I have started to endeavor to do such a thing. But I don't think I'm going to really pursue that as a strategy for a couple of reasons. Reason number one is it's a heavy lift. You're talking a 35, 45-minute podcast that might have a guest recorded earlier in the day that you then have to edit into and make it smoothly transition video-wise into that guest appearance. There are glitches. There are dropouts. Cameras malfunction. The sound goes haywire. It's a lot of fixing that has to be done. And I know what you're saying. You're unemployed. You got the time. It's probably 2+ hours of editing to do that. And then got to upload the whole file, which I don't have the fastest internet. It's usually up to an hour of video, even at a reasonable size and frame rate. And definition is well over 1.5 gigs. So it takes a while to upload. Then you got to do all the metrics with, you know, search option, search SEO, search engine optimization, SEO on YouTube. And you got to make thumbnails for it. And I'm a one-man band here. This is 5 days a week. These shows keep coming, plus an extra hour doing the golf show, the Capital Golf Gang, episode dropping tomorrow. Oh, by the way, first one of the year. It's a heavy lift. And here's the problem with the heavy lift. Aside from the fact that I'm not quite a perfectionist, but I'm it really should be of a standard-ist, I get crazy when there's glitches and it really sends me into a tailspin. That's a heavy lift to make an hour perfect every day, 5 days a week. It could be done. I could get better at it. But once it's up there on YouTube, the chances of it gaining any kind of viral traction to monetize itself at any level is extremely slim. And it would also cannibalize upon downloads of the audio portion of the podcast. Also, many of the video podcasts that are very popular now, they know that they're only really being served on YouTube. They're not meant to be a listened to podcast. I am a listened to podcast. And so therefore, that's not my wheelhouse. That's not my strength. And then lastly, you got to remember, I'm competing whenever I put a video up in that narrow feed of X.com, Facebook, or whatever. I'm competing with professionally produced podcasts with former high-level superstar athletes with the best equipment, the best lighting, Shure SMB8 microphones, and giant Godox G200 lights, and a sound engineer, and a floor director, and a makeup artist, and then an editing team, and everything else. That ain't me. And so I don't want to just throw shit up there that looks half-assed. So the clips that I do lean in on, and it takes me about an hour to kind of really get my arms around a clip and cutting it down to size to make it enjoyable in a 1 to 2 minute format at most, it's a lot of time with no real extra money. And so that is why I don't do full video episodes. I apologize. I have no idea why you'd want to watch just me and my guest for the majority of an hour. Of course, if I were to post a whole episode, another part of it is I'd want to go get a lot of B-roll and supporting images because I don't want it to just be me and somebody else, yep, talking on mic. And that takes extra time. So that's the reason that I don't do it. And I hope you understand it. And if you do understand it, I hope you appreciate it and forgive me. But if you neither don't understand it or give a shit, then I don't know what to say. Sorry. Thank you for at least downloading and listening, which you did today. As always, rate and review. It tickles the algorithmic overlords. Spread the word. Tell a friend. And if you could, if you can spare me $5 a month, I'd love for you to subscribe. You get ad-free, and then you get Fridays as well with Scott and Solly. Please, please, please go to zabe.com/premium and sign up today and be part of the true Zabe 1%ers. And then when you do, email me to let me know so I can shout you out and say thank you, because I do appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday. Tomorrow, you are looking live. Scott and Solly for the Super Wild Card Weekend. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 powered schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.